Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It is so good to be in worship with you this morning. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And whether you're in our sanctuary or whether you're with us on the church's live stream, I'm so glad to be in worship with you on this special day, this Easter Sunday. As we begin our time together, we want to highlight some announcements for you that you might know what's happening in the church, might find ways to connect with the mission of Midland First United Methodist Church, where our mission is to help people know, love, and share Jesus Christ. To begin with, I'm going to hand things off to Pastor Bethany Maciejewski, who serves as our associate pastor and has an announcement about the church's scholarship program. Next, I want to share a special note to our guests, especially those with children this morning. During the worship service, we're going to have a children's blessing towards the start of the service. After that, the children are invited to go to P4, which is over in this area of the church. We'll have our children's Sunday school. That's a time especially designed for children to be interactive and to share the good news of today with them. This class space is intended for infants through the fifth grade, so invite you to come forward if you wish, and then they will be led to the children's Sunday school. If you're comfortable staying in the sanctuary, please know that we invite you also to continue to worship with your families. If you want to come forward and return to your families or stay in your pews, we invite you to do what you are comfortable with this morning. Also want to draw your attention to the other insert in your bulletin. You'll find those who have given flowers in honor and in memory of loved ones. We thank you for helping us celebrate Easter in this special way. If you did donate a flower, we invite you to come forward after the service and to pick up your flower and to bring it home with you. If we mightn't ask that you leave the ones closest to the altar in place for as long as possible, in case individuals or families are wishing to come up after worship and take a picture this morning close to our altar space. Finally, I want to share with you that the church office will be closed tomorrow, Monday, April 6th, in observance of Easter. I ask that you make note of that. Our regular office hours will resume on Tuesday at 9 a.m.
Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God.
And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory.
If you would, remain standing for our opening hymn. It can be found on page 301 in your hymnal, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, or the words will also be on the screen behind me.
Thank you. children, please come forward. Happy Easter. On the behalf of the Sunday School team, I'm Miss Melinda. I'll be with the Sunday School kids this morning. We also have our team back in the Sunday School room. Miss Marilyn is with us today. Miss Claire is joining us. And Miss Cara. And we also have Miss Lena today in the Sunday School room. Welcome, welcome. How is everybody doing? Ooh, most of us just came off of what did we just finish up? Or we're going to finish up. We haven't finished up yet, right? Spring break? Everybody having thumbs up a good spring break? So I have a little token. Last Sunday we did Palm Sunday, and I made the palms that we took down the aisle into little crosses. So if you would like to take one home, I have a basket of them that we can take home today. So today we are going to talk about Matthew 28. We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And in this we have where the Mary, Magdalene, and Mary went to the tomb. And they were trying to figure out how the heck they wanted to anoint Jesus' body. And they were trying to figure out how that they were going to do that. Because there's this big stone that was like, it took 20 people. And the disciples weren't there.
It was his body.
And it would take two large elephants just sitting there that won't move. That's kind of amazing to me. So anyway, the stone is kind of significant because it represents that Jesus, that there are obstacles sometimes in our life, but Jesus is there for us to help us overcome those obstacles. So I think that stone is pretty significant in telling us that. So all we need to do is we need to pray for Jesus, celebrate today that he has risen. Or he is risen. Either way, you can say that. All right, so let's do a quick prayer and head off to Sunday school. We have some fun things planned today. We are going to make some goodies.
We gave our music teacher a bulletin.
You gave your music teacher? Oh, did they come and join you today? Well, welcome to all our visitors. Thank you for letting me know that. That's great, Violet. All right, let's do a quick prayer, and we're going to head off to Sunday school. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for our time that we're going to spend together. We pray for all the kids here as we go, and we're going to celebrate that he is risen and he is alive. We pray for everybody that is not with us today. Help those that are not feeling well. Help those that are traveling. Help those to tell this joyful Easter story as well today. Christ is risen. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As we come to a time of offering this morning, I want to let you know that we have some red friendship pads at the end of the pews. If you would, go ahead and fill that out. We love to get to know who's here, love to get to know our neighbors. And if you don't know who's sitting in your pew, if you'd like to take a look at that as it comes back your way, that would be lovely. And then as the ushers are coming forward, I just invite you to contemplate the work that the Lord has done and his sacrifice for us. If the ushers would please come forward.
In the darkness we were waiting without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and promise, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to the Lord.
God, we give you thanks and praise for who you are and who you have been and who you will be, the same forever and always. And we thank you for these gifts that you have given to us. We know that all that we have to give is all that we have already been given. Use them to your service. Use them to your glory and to further your kingdom as far and wide as you see fit. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so that they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Much like he does throughout his telling of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, of Jesus being raised from the dead, Mark, in the 16th chapter of his gospel, the final chapter, rushes us into the events that took place after Jesus' burial in a borrowed tomb. And he does so through the eyes of three women: Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and Salome. All three had been followers of Jesus throughout his ministry. All three witnessed from a distance his death on a cross. And Mark tells us in the previous chapters that the two Marys had seen where Jesus' body was laid in a tomb. And what is abundantly clear is that Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and Salome arrived at Jesus' tomb that Easter morning expecting to encounter death. On that morning, the women weren't planning to attend an Easter sunrise service, nor did they anticipate that the temple, no less that Jesus' tomb, would be decorated in such a way that was overflowing with life, much as we have done this morning. Instead, the women arrived that morning prepared to attend to life's grit, prepared to attend to the very pain and struggle and setbacks that accompany death. They had purchased the day before and brought with them on that morning aromatics, burial spices to attend to Jesus' body. And whether their intention was to lessen the smell of Jesus' decomposing body, or to symbolically take the edge off of the indignant way that Jesus had been crucified by at least offering him an anointing that would parallel that of a king, either way, the reality is the first visitors to Jesus' tomb are downtrodden. They're even wondering, as Melinda referenced, how they will even access Jesus' tomb to attend to his lifeless body. And so they arrive at the tomb with their heads hanging low. But then, in an immediate turn of events, and certainly what feels like stark contrast to us as his audience, Mark tells us of how the entryway to Jesus' tomb is laid open, and how this is followed by the women's encounter in the tomb with what is undoubtedly an angel, And all of a sudden, the scene that Easter morning, just like the skies around us, break open with life. You could not time that. Wow. God is good. God is good. Whew. And the angels proclaim, he isn't here. The angel proclaims he's risen from the dead. Not only this, the angel goes on to instruct the women, now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, including the one who denied Jesus the most, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. And suddenly, there is both the disparity and mashup of death and life, of hope and despair. Reflecting on this Easter sermon, I was reminded of my childhood. And specifically, I was reminded of a telltale sign at my family's gatherings that indicated that we were about to share a special meal. And this was the case whether we were gathered for a holiday or somebody's birthday. But this telltale sign was constant. Care to guess what that sign was? That what laid ahead was going to be special? No, it wasn't when we used the holiday pattern paper plates. Right? I'm sorry if you have some of these waiting for you at home, but those gaudy looking plates, right? With the special wax-like coating so the paper doesn't soak up the liquids in your dishes. Nor was it when mom decided to use the fine set of china, right? The fine set of china dishes. This only signaled that someone later on would have to hand wash the dishes. That's hardly special. And certainly as I grew older, I learned that sometimes that someone would be me. So it wasn't the fine china. No, for me, what made an occasion a special occasion is when the host family broke out the divided paper plates. Yeah. Those paper plates made of thicker paper. And they have the three distinct compartments on them. Right? Who can envision them already in their minds? Right? The two up top to hold the side dishes, and that one large component at the bottom to hold the main dish. In my childhood mind, whenever we used these divided papers, I was certain that we were celebrating something special. Because perished the thought that the liquids from my aunt's sweetened fruit salad would touch the fried wrapper of my mother's egg rolls. Or even worse, that sweet flavors of the fruit salad would be somehow married with the savory flavors of my aunt's pancit noodles. Indeed, it was the ingenuity of these divided compartments that made certain family occasions truly special. At least in my mind. Perhaps some of you are rifling through some of your favorite family dishes, right? I mean, who wants coleslaw and mashed potatoes? I bring this up because all too often we take a similar mindset to Easter and to the power of the resurrection. and the power of God having raised Jesus from the dead. With faith, we approach Easter's tomb believing that Christ is risen. But we do this in such a way that its realities must somehow be separate. That they must either wait until we get to heaven, or that somehow we have to suspend them when faced with life's grit. That the realities of the empty tomb must somehow be suspended when we encounter life's pain, or struggles, or setbacks. It's as if we're open to believing so long as we can keep life's grits, the harsh realities of life today, and the power of Christ's resurrection apart from one another. As if we can believe that Christ is risen so long as we can sequester its realities for an Easter morning, or so long as we hold off on the full hope of Easter's empty tomb until we cross over heaven's threshold. But this isn't what Mark portrays in the telling of Jesus' life and of his death and of his resurrection. And this isn't what any of the Gospels portray for this matter. Instead, Mark gives an account of where the two elements come together, of where life's grit comes into direct contact with Easter's hope in this life. Right there in verses 6 and 7 in Jesus' tomb, where life overcomes death and where despair gives way to hope. It's right there where the two Marys and Salome are ready to attend to death's harsh realities and tests and tasks, only to encounter the miraculous power of God's grace in their life. And so, my friends, are you open? Are you truly open to encountering the power of the resurrection alive in you today? Is it possible or even right to believe that you too can encounter this power in your life? This resurrection power where hope replaces despair. And indeed, where death gives way to life. If I'm being forthright, by nature, even as a pastor, I can be cynical. Questioning what's possible. Always needing to be shown before choosing to believe. And so 16 months ago, when I received word that a family member had been diagnosed with a terminal reoccurrence of cancer, I was devastated. Even more so when I heard the harsh reality from family members who are in the medical field that this loved one had several months to live. And almost inexplicably, I felt led to pray for their healing. But not in a way that I would have prayed on my own. more so in a way that called something for more miraculous. I prayed early and often that this family member would have the time to find healing in this life from life's grit. That their heart and their mind and their spirit would find peace from this life's pain and its struggles and setbacks. All these months later, my loved one is approaching the end of their fight. And of this life journey. And there's no doubt that as a family, we are still aware and saddened by death's lingering presence. Nonetheless, to me, it's a God-sized miracle, an encounter today with the power of Jesus' resurrection, that this family member has had the time to find peace, to arrive at a point where at a recent family gathering, though we did not have the divided plates, that is this family gathering, they could express that they know that they are loved. And that they are at peace. And that they have arrived at this sacred season of life with no regrets. Friends, like the Father in the Gospels, who asked Jesus to heal his son, let our prayer to God be, I believe, and help me in my unbelief. So this Easter morning, where in your life will you choose to believe in the power of the resurrection? What are you celebrating? What are you walking through? What are you struggling to carry? And where will you let hope confront despair? And where are you open to letting life push back against death? And where might you allow the power of the resurrection and for grace to rewrite your story? So take one step this week, starting today on Easter, toward the life that God offers you. Because Jesus being raised from the dead contains a promise. Because God raising Jesus from the dead contains a promise. Not just for someday in the future. Not just for the life to come. But just as much for us today. Amen. Amen. I invite us to join one another in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Indeed, O God, this day, this Easter Sunday, invites us to celebrate the power of the resurrection. It invites us to run to the tomb with the women and to see the stone rolled away. To receive again the message of hope. That death has given way to life. That despair is overcome with hope. And God, the reality is that while we believe this to be true, at times we sequester it away to just this day or to other times in our life. We're not faced with struggles. We're not encountering pain. We're not having to be truthful with setbacks. But indeed, oh God, our Easter journey reminds us today that the very power with which you raised your Son is alive in us today. So God, we pray to you, we pray for one another, we pray for our community, we pray for our world, that it might know this good news, that we might look for the miraculous in our day-to-day, that our hearts that are sometimes guarded, that our minds that are sometimes skeptical would believe, and that you would help us in our unbelief. That as much as we celebrate the power of the resurrection and the life to come, that we might celebrate it today. Help us to encounter that this day with family and with friends. Help us to take a step towards it in the week to come. Help us to find it with expectant hearts. Help us to be open to be surprised by it. Lord, you are the very one who rose Jesus from the dead. And God, you are the very one who abides in us, and us in you. And so we pray for Easter's power to be alive in us today. We pray this with the confidence of your people, praying the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you are able, I invite you to stand and to join us in our closing song, Christ Has Risen. You'll find this on page 2115 of the Faith We Sing songbook or on the screen in front of you. I want to remind you that if you have donated a flower for our sanctuary this morning, I invite you to come up afterwards following the service to bring your plant home. Also, if you have friends or wish to take a picture or family here, wish to take a picture by the altar, I invite you to take the time to do so this morning. You know, looking out in our sanctuary this morning, I imagine that some of you have an Easter egg hunt in the near future, yes? You know, there's some seasons of life when we are ready to go with the vigor of our children, right? To go out rushing, even on a gray day like today, out into the cold and look for those Easter eggs. And then there are other seasons in life where we wish we had the energy to do that. Where we wish we had the backs and knees to crouch down near the ground to pick up an object repeatedly for half an hour. And then there's some of us wherein it's like that Easter egg you find 3 or 4 months after the Easter egg hunt. And if you filled the plastic ones with candy and you're cutting the lawn 3 or 4 months down the road, and oh my gosh, there's an Easter egg. And there's a good-looking piece of candy, and you're tempted enough to eat it. Not that, okay, that did happen, and yes, I did eat it. But here's the point. My hope is that you will seek the power of the resurrection in your life today in the same way. Perhaps this season of life is a wonderful one, and you are rushing out in your day to find that power of the resurrection. Perhaps you're tired, or perhaps you're encountering life's grit, and you would rather not. Perhaps 2 or 3 weeks down the road, or 2 or 3 months down the road, you might be surprised. May you be open to encountering this power, not just in the life to come, which we find hope and assurance in, but in this life today. Amen? Amen. Amen.